I believe that charity is best defined as the love of God. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave the best that he had when he gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I appreciate your charity. I appreciate the ways that the small ways that you've shown me your love since I've been here. Not only this time, but the time the first day I was here. You know, you welcomed me in like just a big old chocolate drop. Wait a minute, I like to have fun. But anyhow, why don't we start off with a song with our choir now. Young men, come on up. And the first time I was here, we sung a song, The Love of God. And I asked them if they would sing a verse with me today. And he said, no, we're going to sing the whole song. So, amen. So why don't we go ahead and do this? Page 166. And we'll just go with the flow. Did you want to start it? You'd rather I did, right?
I would rather you did.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and parted from. Tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. And this is the dearest, Jesus loves me. And I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even you.
Good.
He does it, sweetheart. Father, I may mention, Father, that I've experienced the love of God here today. God, I don't feel anything other than that. And I've learned how to recognize your love. Even, Lord, even the fact that the pastor, because he was touched by the message about your love this morning, would ask me, Lord, to stay over and, Lord, to preach again. And as soon as he asked me, Lord, the message that you laid on my heart was the ultimate intimate relationship. And so, God, you know that's one of my favorite. And I pray to God, please, that I be careful, Lord, not to think that I can do anything without you. You've already said, without you, I can do nothing. And so I pray to God that you would preach this message through me, through the hearts of the folks that are here. And I know if you do, then you'll accomplish your purpose to that message today. So God, I just pray, dear Father, please, fill me with your spirit, so I can talk about your love. In Christ's name, amen. Young man, would you do me a favor, little fellow? Would you give me that brochure with that handsome looking guy in the front right here? I don't like going downstairs too often. Thank you. Now, listen, can you hear me? Am I wired for sound here? Okay. Pastor, this is, I know you can't see it from back there. But I wanted to kind of show this, and I'll give this to your pastor because this kind of defines the ministry that God has given me. And you'll notice, after you get a chance to look at it, I like to characterize the ministry that God gave me as putting feet on charity. Putting feet on charity. And that's putting feet on the love of God. Amen? I like that verse in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there, verses 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and give himself an offering and a sweet smelling savor. And I just butchered that verse, so we'll. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. God wants all of the lives of his children to be characterized by love. And not by man's love, but God's love. Amen? The perfect love, the sacrificial love, charity. I believe that charity is the love of God. And I really believe that what God would have me to talk to you about tonight is what I consider probably my favorite message, or one of the, at least one of the top five. And the title of the message is The Ultimate Intimate Relationship. The ultimate intimate relationship. And let me start by saying this, that no one is more relational than God is. I believe without a shadow of doubt that one of the major reasons why God saved us, and we'll talk about that in the message, is so that we can, he can experience, that we can experience, embrace, and express his love. Amen? And that's what the whole message basically is all about. And so why don't we turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Love this book because it emphasizes the love of God. Powerful, powerful book, but of course every book is. The ultimate intimate relationship. What is that? You'd like to know, wouldn't you? Would you like to know too? What I'm here to tell you. The ultimate intimate relationship is the epitome. And another reason why I like this message, because of alliterations. I like alliterations because sometimes they help you remember a message. Amen. So anyhow, you watch the E's. Pay attention to the E's here. The ultimate intimate relationship is the epitome of all other relationships. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. This is the number one relationship that there is. The ultimate intimate relationship is a relationship that is experienced by the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look with me over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, three personalities, all one God.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Equal in every sense, but they humble themselves to perform in a position, a particular aspect of their relationship. But they've experienced this ultimate, intimate love relationship. Jesus talks about how never separated from the Father, except for when he died on the cross. Amen? But 2,000 years ago, the Bible calls it due time. Jesus took upon the sin of all of mankind. It's almost as if you use your sanctified imagination, you can see a big funnel over Jesus' head. And I don't mean to be sacrilegious but God at that moment in time poured the sin of all mankind on Jesus Christ. And he died to pay for everybody's sin, past, present, and future. All your sin, all the sins that you didn't commit before you were born, all the sins that you committed while you were born, all the sins that you committed even while you're out here, Jesus paid for it in that moment in time, 2,000 years ago. And as a result, at that moment, he was separated from the Father. But up until that point, he had never been separated from the Father. Only that moment. They had the perfect relationship. One in purpose. Everything that they did it as one. All to the glory of God.
The ultimate intimate relationship, the highest relationship that anyone could ever experience, was experienced by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Perfect love relationship. The ultimate intimate relationship is the essence of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17. I believe that this is the greatest prayer that's ever prayed by the greatest prayer warrior who ever prayed. Amen. Everything that he prayed, it was answered. Because of the perfect relationship that he had with his Father. The ultimate intimate love relationship is the essence of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. Jesus mentioned in John chapter 17, let's begin at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. In other words, this is what eternal life is all about. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus said, this is what eternal life is all about. That you and I might get to come to know God. Not just the head knowledge of God, but to know God in a very real and intimate and personal way. How intimate, how personal. He goes on to say, if we turn over to John chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What's he saying here? Jesus prays for himself in the first part of this chapter. And he talks about being separated from God. He said, I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be glorified in our relationship with you once again after he had gone through the crucifixion and as he died to pay for our sin. He prays for his disciples of that particular day. For the 11. Amen. Judas is gone. Amen. So he prayed for the 11. He said, listen, I'm praying for them that they might be one, even as you are one, and I'm one with them. Amen. And then in verse 20, he said, I'm praying for not only for them, but I'm praying for all of those who would believe on me through their word. In other words, he's praying for us now. Amen. He includes us in this prayer. What does he say? Glad you asked. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The ultimate intimate relationship was experienced by the Godhead. These three are one, one in purpose in every way. The ultimate intimate relationship is the essence of Christianity. And what is Christianity is all about. God wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to experience that oneness, that ultimate intimate relationship, that oneness that is characterized by His love. Look at verse 23 again. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The reason why people go to heaven, the reason why you and I go to heaven is because of this prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, I want them to be with me wherever I am. Christ is going to be in heaven. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Here's the picture, folks. The ultimate intimate relationship was not only experienced by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a perfect love relationship, but it's the essence of Christianity. It's the reason why God saves us. God created us for a love relationship with Him. A perfect love relationship with Him. It goes all the way back, obviously, to the garden. He created the devil. God's perfect creation until iniquity was found in him. Mm-hmm. His issue, we talked about this at lunchtime, was pride. Was pride. Amen? When he wanted to, not only, he didn't want to be like God, he wanted to take over. He wanted to be God. Amen. And so when he opened the door to sin, a created being, when God judged him and cast him down out of heaven, down here. Amen. God did one better when he created mankind. Mm-hmm. He created mankind in his likeness and in his image. Amen? The devil didn't like it. And he knew how to cause man to fall the same way he felt. If he could, he knew what God did. He knew the conversation that God had with Adam. And God had told Adam, he said, Adam, you know, of every tree in the garden, you can freely eat of it, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't. He said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. The devil heard that. And so he did his dead level best to influence Adam to sin against God. Adam bit into that lie. He allowed himself to be persuaded by evil. Devil in his cunningness and his wisdom influenced Eve. To influence Adam to sin against God. That relationship was severed. That perfect relationship was severed because of Adam's choice to sin against God. From that moment, God saw to give us opportunity to experience that love relationship with him again. Jesus prayed for that relationship to be renewed. Then he paid for it with his life, and he died to pay for our sin. But from the very beginning, God created us to experience a perfect love relationship with him. That's the whole essence of what Christianity is all about. And you can see that the many times he mentioned in this portion of scripture, if you're not familiar with it. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou lovest them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they may also, that they also whom thou hast sent, hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, my greatness, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That ultimate intimate relationship, the epitome of all other relationship, experienced by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, perfect relationship, perfect love relationship, that was that never having been separated, except for the time when Jesus died to pay for our sin, and our sin separated him from the Father. The ultimate intimate relationship is the essence of what Christianity is all about. The reason why God created us and now saves us is so that we can experience this oneness, this ultimate intimate relationship with him. It's a relationship that is also exemplified by Christ in his humanity. Look with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is the perfect example of his in his humanity of what this relationship was to look like. And he said in John chapter 14, let's start in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye shall know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Or it'll be enough for us. It will satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believeth me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believeth me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What's being said here? The ultimate intimate relationship. The epitome of all other relationships experienced by God the Father, the God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit. A perfect love relationship. It's the essence of Christianity. The reason why God created us, the reason why God recreated mankind once mankind fell into sin and separated from that love relationship with God. Jesus prayed for this relationship, as you saw in John chapter 17, and then he paid for it with his life. Jesus exemplifies this relationship over in John chapter 14, when he was questioned by Philip. Jesus had just told him, he said, Philip, and all the disciples that are there, during his farewell address to his disciples, his last words, John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Philip asked, he said, Lord, would you just please tell us plainly, who is the Father? Jesus looked at him, he said, Philip, haven't you been with me long enough? Don't you realize, Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He said, Philip,
the words that I speak, the works that I do, it's not me, but it's the Father who dwells in me that's speaking the words, that's doing the work. Jesus exemplified the type of relationship that we can have with God the Father.
Amen. Good.
If we allow God the Father to live his life through us, as we give our hearts to him, first of all, to be saved. And after you get saved, give it to him daily. So he can be this, so that we can live a Christ-centered life, as opposed to a self-centered life. We are no match for the world, the flesh, or the devil.
Right.
There are three great enemies. The only hope that we have in experiencing this ultimate intimate relationship, Jesus called it oneness. A perfect love relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we have to surrender our lives, our hearts to God every day the way Jesus did. Jesus said in his humanity, the words that I speak, the things that I do, it's not me. In essence, it's the Spirit of God who I have submitted to, allowing him to live his life through me. You know, I tell people, you know, in reference to evangelism, evangelism is the work of God the Father. God is the God of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He's the King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. And all he wants us to do is surrender to him and allow him to do his work through us, excuse me, the same way that Jesus did. Paul said about Christ, he said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
Amen.
And he's given us the word and the ministry of reconciliation. And now, as we allow God to live his life through us, as we give our hearts to him day by day, then it becomes, it's not a chore to evangelize. It's birthed out of a love relationship with the Lord. Does that make any sense to you? As we surrender, God does his work of evangelism through us. And we become ambassadors for Christ. And as the closer we are to him, the way then we are able to experience or be constrained or be compelled or be controlled by the love of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus, in his humanity, was the embodiment of the love of God. He was the love of God personified.
Amen.
He's our example. He exemplified that relationship. Then he explains it. He explains the ultimate intimate relationship in John chapter 15. And this pretty much is the meat of the message. Look at John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am, verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Here's the point. The ultimate intimate relationship is the epitome of all other relationship experienced by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. It is the essence of Christianity. The reason why God created us was to experience that love relationship with him. The reason why God recreated us through salvation, the reason why he saves us is so that we can experience that ultimate relationship
with God the Father. The fruit of that relationship is love, the love of God. Jesus exemplified this relationship. In John chapter 14, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, and I trust that some of you have. Has anyone ever told you that when I see you, I see Christ? I mean, that's the goal that we should have as Christians.
Yes, sir.
That we're so close to Christ, and that we've surrendered our hearts to him, and we're allowing him to live his life through us.
Love.
That's true Christianity. Jesus explains this ultimate, intimate relationship. In John chapter 15, he said, listen, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. To abide in Christ, man, and I'm sure you know this, but let me remind you, to abide in Christ means basically this. You get saved. And you continue to remain in close fellowship with him.
That's right.
Close enough to allow him to live his life through you. So that when people see you, I tell you what is the highest honor is when your wife tells you, baby, when I see you, I see Christ. Mm. Or when your husband tells the wife, sweetheart, when I see you, I see Christ.
Right.
But when the children say, Dad, when I see you, I'm looking at Christ. You understand where I'm going with this?
Mom.
The ultimate intimate relationship. What Christianity is all about is being close enough to Christ to allow him to live his life through us. And we accomplish that by sincerely giving him our hearts so that he can dwell in our hearts by faith. Peter says this, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, that you may be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Give God your heart. See, you didn't know I was going to go with a part two of this message. I didn't either. I didn't even know I was going to be preaching a second message. But you can't hear this enough. And here's why. Getting back to Revelation chapter 3 again. And this is a great burden that I have in my heart for the church. Too many of God's people have no clue about what the abiding relationship is all about. Too many of God's people, the pastor alluded to this, and he didn't go this far, and so I'm not going to go any further than what he did, and I'm not going to tell you what he said. This is what I heard. Too much of being what's being preached and taught in too many circles. Not Christ-centered.
Right?
And self-centered. Which means that much of what we do, and I'm not indicting you. I don't know you that way. Much of what I do, unfortunately, is not in the promise of the Spirit, it's in the flesh. It's imperative that we live close enough to Christ, close enough to allow him to live his life through us. When we're close to him, the Holy Spirit, he will enable us to bear the only fruit that the Holy Spirit produces. That fruit is Christ-likeness. His love, not yours. His joy. His peace. His long suffering or supernatural patience.
At long.
His goodness or kindness. His mercy, His meekness.
His faith. As we yield to Him. The ultimate intimate relationship is a relationship that is the epitome, the greatest relationship that there is. It's a relationship that is experienced by the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. It's a relationship that is exemplified by, is the essence of Christianity. What Christianity, true Christianity, is all about. God became a man. He came down from glory to make men like Him. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant, who was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has so highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that every name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He became a man so He can make us like God. The only way we can be like Christ in this life is to abide in Him, to live close enough to Him, to allow Him to live His life through us. Jesus said, I close where I closed earlier. I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice and open the door to their heart, allow me to dwell there by faith. Allow me to be seated at the throne of your heart. Control your life. I will come in and have fellowship. And that's Christianity. That's how we experience God's love. Embrace God's love. Express God's love to God by loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To our neighbors by loving them with the love of the Lord. And to love one another, starting at home, as charity starts at home, the way God loves us. Then we can experience the ultimate intimate relationship. That's Christianity. Pastor.
Sir, thank you.